Hello and welcome to Camp Required Reading. This is the second camp episode, and I didn't think of that the first week. But this is the podcast where we revisit impactful books from childhood, but we're on vacation. We are going back to summer camp. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I'm a writer, actor, and comedian. My camp name when I worked there was Merlin because I loved the BBC program, and it actually played a pivotal role in me realizing I could work in entertainment.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
We have a recurring guest today from our One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest episode. Chelsea Pope is an actor and comedian based in LA. She co-hosts the podcast A Breath of Fresh Movie and is a former member of the Groundlings Sunday Company. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
We were talking a little bit. We had just like stop chatting, turn on the recording. This is
You're
there's
like, this
just
is
too
too
much.
good. Too good.
We are doing a Goosebumps book. I think it's like number 9, maybe number 12. Welcome to Camp Nightmare. And this book is about a kid who goes to summer camp, and it's just one thing after another.
Relentless torture, psychological warfare.
And the zaniest twist ending I've ever
Right.
consumed.
Yeah.
So, what is your story with summer camp? What was that like for you?
For summer, like summer camps in general, so there were a couple different camps I went to. When I was in like late elementary, early middle school, I went to a summer camp. I think it was a couple summers in a row. I went with my sister and it was in Big Bear. And it was, I felt like a very standard but slightly bougie camp because we weren't in tents. We were in like a nice cabin and there were all these suggested like things to buy. And so my mom was really zealous about that. And she took us to get like fishing rods and this and that. And we never used any of that shit. It was very like, I think there was some hiking, there was some cornhole playing, and it was a very mild camp. And then I went to band camp for a
Hell
couple
yeah.
different summers. And in Idlewild, I went to summers, also a bougie little camp, predominantly just playing music all day, not much by the way of camp activities. Because it was at the Idlewild Arts School for
Oh,
like,
nice.
because it's also like a performing arts high school, like conservatory. And in the summer they do all these different camps. And I went to the band camp for 2 summers. And I remember that I got like a really huge discount because I played percussion and they always were in need of percussionists because that camp was like $2,000. It was like a
Wow.
thousand a week. It was really insane. And there would be like a concert in the first weekend and then a concert on the second weekend. But it was a very expensive camp. Maybe it wasn't too, I know it was well over a thousand.
Right.
And they were always hurting for percussionists because in my mind, I'm kind of thinking like, why would I pay $2,000 to like hit like 5 triangle notes? And like,
Oh
if you're
no.
not talented enough to be like a gifted, because it's kind of a niche thing to be like a gifted like keyboard marimba player or to be like an expert drummer. And then a lot of those people, they're either probably in bands or they're doing like drumline or they're doing like summer competitions of that nature. So they wouldn't probably be at like an orchestra camp. Like it was a very niche thing. So I got to do that and discount. But anyway, I'm rambling.
No.
The camp parts of those things, like we were in woodland areas, but like I never took to sleeping in a tent. Like I think I did that once going camping with a friend on the beach, but I only did it because we were right next to her parents' RV or something. So
I love
I
that.
was like
With
I was reading this and I was just like,
yeah.
nope, nope. Never gonna be catch me on a bus in the middle of nowhere.
Did
And
you do any sleepaway camps or were they just day camps?
they were both sleepaway camps. The
Wow.
one where we bought fishing rods for nothing was a sleepaway camp. And again, it was like my UCLA dorm actually was very similar to the sleeping quarters of that camp.
Wow.
It was a very, it was not a nitty-gritty camp. Like we really only maybe like hiked and it was just basic socialization stuff, I think. And then the band one, yeah, it was sleepaway, but again, we were sleeping in what were essentially like literal dorm rooms,
Okay.
or because it's a conservatory, like an arts
Yeah.
school. During the school year. So as far as me actually like being, I've never pitched a tent. I have no intention of ever doing that. That's just not how I'm built. I'm a strong sympathizer of Meredith from The Parent Trap, like never gonna catch me out there in the woods. So that's some of my camp lore, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. Mosquitoes love me too much. I gotta
Yes.
play hard to get. I can't be too available for the mosquitoes because they tear me up.
I get that.
Yeah.
So much happens in this book in terms of like possible ghosts, abductions.
Yes.
We get into so much. And I was a Girl Scout for 12 years. We weren't like, I was in a couple different troops when I was younger, but I was in the same troop like 7th through 12th. And my mom ran that. And my mom has a disability. So we didn't do a ton of camping just because, like, if a road is not paved, it's difficult for her to walk on. But I did a summer camp every single summer. It was 2 weeks. And then there wasn't enough funding. So it turned into 1 week. And there was always a one night sleepover. And the camp was attached to a church. So we were not camping in the graveyard. We were camping right next to it.
Oh man.
So much happens in this book, but to me, like, the wildest part was they have a one night tent night and they
Yeah.
did not set up their own tents. And I was
Yeah.
like, what is happening that
Yeah.
you are not setting up your own tent?
Oh, there's so many things that happen throughout this book. It's
Yes.
like, I don't, this seems pretty
Yes, that
odd.
was silly of me.
I think a big part of what helped me be on board with, well, apart from the fact that I'm reading this and I'm like, this is a kid's book,
Yeah.
Chelsea. Don't be like that. Don't question this.
Don't ask too
But at the
much.
same time, one of the very first like things in the chapter one and like one of the very first paragraphs is when he's like, oh, and my parents didn't say have fun. They said do well.
Oh.
What's up with that? And right away I was like, oh, that seems like this is going to be some sort of test.
Oh my gosh, I did not pick up on that at all, but
So
you're
sorry for
right.
spoilers, I guess. But yeah, early in the, I want to say it's on the, let me go back really quick.
Yeah.
Real quick back in the, I did my reading,
Believe
and
you.
it was, let's see.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
they.
I've never, oh yeah, it is. I thought about my mom and dad back at the bus station. They seemed so serious. I guess they were nervous too about me going out to camp for the first time. We'll write every day, Dad said. Do your best, Mom
Do
said,
your
hugging me harder than
best.
usual. Why didn't she say have a good time? Why did she say do your best?
Yes. And little Billy goes through lots of calamities. There is an incident with some monsters on the road, on the bus to camp. I did a sleepaway camp twice, 2 summers in a row, and we did have a bus to camp, and that was very cute. We did lots of songs. It's
That's
very adorable. Not Billy's little experience. And
fun.
his bunk mate gets bit by a snake and disappears. There is a forbidden bunk that a camp mate goes to as a dare and goes missing.
Yeah.
There's a harrowing canoe sequence.
Oh,
His bunk mates go missing and they say, "There's never been a Roger at this camp,
yeah.
ever."
There's a lot of
Yeah.
including the twist ending. I mean, I'm sure maybe in a more like adult interview that's not like the back of a kid's
Yeah.
book that children are actively reading the interview of, R.L. Stine would maybe own up to like a lot of this is very clear homage to Twilight Zone. Like
Yes.
very much including the twist ending. That's a very common thing in their first season of the Twilight Zone where it was like the monsters were earthlings the whole time. Oh, the real the weird planet, the foreign planet was Earth and like
Yes.
and then also there's like one of my favorite episodes and it's like it freaks me out still when I watch it is these war vets or they're these fighter pilots who they end up at a hospital and each time one of them picks up a newspaper, they're looking at it and it's accounting for all but one of them. And they're
Right.
like, wait, so and so is not in this paper. So and so is not accounted for. And then all of a sudden it resets and that person just was never there.
I
And then
remember that
it
one.
keeps doing that until they all, it's like a precursor to Final Destination where it's this like death needed to correct it because those guys were never supposed to survive or something.
Right.
So when that came up in the book, when it was like, there was never a Roger here, I was like, ooh,
Oh, I didn't
that's
make
like
that
one of the freakiest
connection.
Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah. Oh, I should spend more time with the Twilight Zone. I love on New Year's doing 1 day of Twilight Zone marathon, and then sometimes the other day, it'll switch which one I switch, doing a marathon of the Thin Man movies
Oh,
with
I haven't seen any of those.
I've only seen the first like two or three, because at that point you're like, I want to go to sleep or the marathon is getting long. But those are so like perfect screwball comedy and so up my alley. But The Twilight Zone is, it's like one of the best things that like humanity's ever done as a piece of media. It's
It's
so
incredible. It's
good.
so hard not to compare everything else to it because it's so found. And also because there were so many episodes that even the Twilight Zone started ripping itself off. You know, the snake started eating its own tail. And so again, the twist at the end of this, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I also was like, oh, like Earth were the monsters the whole times kind of ending. And that was very much a thing that was like a recurring type of twist on Twilight Zone is like, oh, we're watching these astronauts and they're fighting some evil entity. Oh, the astronauts are the aliens and the evil entity are Earthlings. And like, it's a very, like, oh, we're on some, or and then literally the ending of Planet of the Apes is like, you blew it up. It was Earth the whole time.
Yeah, the twist at this book is that this camp is really a training ground for Billy to go with his scientist parents to this dangerous planet called Earth.
Which is, it's very funny. Like, again, this was a delightful book. I don't want to sound like I'm being like, this was like, in what world? Well, clearly, clearly not our world for one. But I read that passage, and you know, the next thing he says after the do your best, he's like, as you can tell, I'm a bit of a worrier. And I'm like, I don't think this kid is spiritually, psychologically fit for, like, what are you guys having him do on Earth? Also, it's really funny because the, like, and I appreciate this about the way R.L. Stine was writing, especially in the opening where it's like kind of these slow reveals of, again, it reminds me of the opening of Lord of the Flies, where you're kind of like slowly picking up on like character features. You're not getting names until like midway through conversations, things like that. You're kind of piecing it together like you're the first person perspective. And then just very funny at the end with the twist where it's like, well, as you know, your parents are scientists. It's just like it was never mentioned. As you know, your parents are scientists. And so yeah, we just thought we'd put you through this very elaborate government test to make sure that you were fit to explore Earth.
Which, like you said, it's revealed that everyone at the camp are all government employees. Even the other campers. And like you said, that was a moment of I was like, these are excellent child actors. And then I was like,
Yeah.
they're aliens, Aaron. We don't need to be examining this
Well,
too
yeah, then I'm
hard.
thinking like the way he describes eyes, every character's eyes are like small and beady, which is like,
Or like too blue.
or too blue, or there is like a slightly unnatural quality, which again, when I'm reading it at first, I was kind of like, oh, like, I mean, this is just kind of like basic descriptors. So the girl's hair is glowing in the light. Like, oh, okay. Like, that's one way to put it. Like,
This is the fourth Goosebumps book I read as an adult. I think I read one when I was younger that was like Choose Your Own Adventure. This is easily the most terrifying one I've read, especially because
yeah.
like I got frustrated with the other ones because he's a great writer of cliffhangers, but it would be, you know, and then something grabbed my shoulder and yanked me away. And then the next chapter starts, and it was like, it was my Aunt Hilda. And
Yeah.
it's always such a huge disappointment,
That's
but this
true.
one was thrilling. So were you a thrill seeker as a kid? Did you read a lot of horror? No.
I read so many American Girl books, and I can't believe we didn't talk about these, but there were the ones, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You probably did an episode on this, but I forget. There's a whole series of books where there are these girl neighborhood friends, and there's this eccentric old lady neighbor who has like an attic full of like exotic, like goods from different countries or this or that. There's different girls that come over and they help the lady with like some chore. They do this or that. And then they get to explore her attic. And like the one I most distinctly remember is like some blonde girl. And I remember she's blonde because she gets sent to like a Middle Eastern, like it's sort of like Aladdin, like some Aladdin type, a fictional like Agrabah kind of place because she puts on like a sari and this and that. And like, I don't know, there was like a whole series of those books. I was not big on horror or tension. I like horror a lot now, but growing up, I remember actually, okay, I remember the thing right before we started recording was I like things would really stick with me. Like if I had read this as a kid, I don't know if I would have fit. I would have probably skipped to the ending because I would have been like, there's no way the adults are not allowed to do that.
The adults are so bad.
They're so mean. That's not right. And then like that's very like gross, like injustice, like always like really got to me. And like there was that short story, which is probably actually one of the scariest things I've ever read, which is Summer in a Day. I think it's Ray
Oh, I don't think
Bradbury,
I
isn't
know
it?
it.
I don't remember, but
I don't think I know.
it takes place on Venus. It's these elementary school kids. I read it in, I think, like when I was fourth or fifth grade. And there are these kids in an elementary school on Venus or something. And it's always raining, it's always gloomy. But there's this one little girl who's like slightly older than the other kids in her class. And she says she remembers a day where it was sunny and that it's coming again because it comes in like 8 year cycles or something. And none of the kids believe her and they're making fun of her because she's weird and eccentric. And the sun only comes out for like a very short period. It comes out for like 15 minutes once every 8 years or something. For whatever reason, she gets bullied so hard that she gets like thrown into like a janitor closet or something. And then the sun comes out and
And
they
she doesn't
all
get to
are,
see
and
it.
she doesn't get to see it.
Oh,
These
God.
fucking kids. I remember crying in class because I was like, these kids are evil. I can't believe that. So I didn't read a lot of horror as a result because I had a very sensitive disposition. Because I couldn't even handle this like short story where this little girl couldn't see the sun for 15 minutes and just I
I
just
get that.
yeah. So even like I'm even as I'm reading this and as an adult, I'm like, what kind of camp is this? What kind of camp counselor lets this snake bite go? No nurse.
Yes, there's
No
no
nurse.
nurse.
It's like
Yes. And the I think his name is Luke or Liam or something, the
oh,
designated counselor,
Lenny.
Lenny.
Oh, what a jerk.
He does not care. He does not care.
Jerk. Which also, now that with the context of the twist ending, it's kind of funny because it's like you could sort of interpret it as either he was really good at his job or he was like, this isn't even a real camp anyway. I don't care. This isn't even real.
Oh,
Like,
that might be true.
because the counselors are all like 16, 17, and the campers are like, what, 12? So it's just funny to think of the camp counselors. They're maybe not part of the government experiment. They're literally just like minimum wage. They're like real teenagers that just needed a summer job. And they're like, oh, none of this is real anyway. So you're doing
Oh
what you want.
man. And even then, I mean, they're working for the government, but hopefully the government is well paid on this other planet. Hopefully
Yeah,
they
maybe
take
they're
care of
more. I
their
mean,
own.
considering how much caution, the fact that they're doing government experiments to make sure the child of two scientists, what kind of scientists are these parents? This is
Although
a very funny twist. Like, again,
yes.
as you know, your parents are genius scientists.
As
And
we've previously discussed, no.
as previously discussed, your parents are geniuses. And you know that they're going to go to Earth, right? Well, they want to make sure that you're like fit to go too, because obviously, you're going to have to be on the front line.
And it is wrapped up so quickly. The tone shifts so much, and it is like so jovial and like
Yeah.
happy. But it also reminded me, a book we did earlier this year is Midnight for Charlie Bone, which is a delightful Harry Potter alternative. And I really recommend it. It was so cute and so fun. And Charlie is Harry Potter, and he has this neighbor who is normal. There's this wonderful, beautiful little boy named Benjamin, and his parents are both private investigators, and they're always leaving him home alone to like go to Scotland to look for a missing window washer. Something changes at the end of that book, but it's really nice to be like, oh, they want to bring their kid along. That's really nice.
Yeah.
He won't be traumatized by being alone.
That's actually a really good point that you bring up because there was a part of me that was kind of thinking it was really funny. Like, well, as you know, your parents are these expert geniuses. So that means you got to strap up, kid. We're throwing you in too. Like, your parents are scientists and it's clearly genetic. So.
Even though he's a little bit of a worrier, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I get it. I get it, little Billy.
Yeah,
Poor
it
guy.
was very relatable stuff. I would worry too in a lot of these situations.
They are going through rapids on that canoe. I loved canoeing and kayaking. That was probably my favorite part of camp.
Yeah.
But I loved being in that world. I loved the mess hall. For some reason, I love that. I love any kind of
Yeah.
community space. Did you have any? any, like, because I've been doing the Goosebumps series on my own, and I started reading the fourth book and didn't get through it. But that has like a haunted house at the end of the road that reminded me of this. There's this forbidden bunk in the camp where no one can go to. Did you have anything in your childhood that was like that looming scary place?
Yes, I would say, well, everything was scary. I was a very scared kid all the time, but especially because I moved, I bounced around in different home situations in the same neighborhood growing up. But one of the houses I lived in, we were right next to this sort of tree, not field. It was like maybe like one, like the size of one street block or whatever. Our house was right next to, there was this fence. And then there was like this really nice like family that lived there in like a trailer or something. And then there were just a ton of trees. There were like grapefruit trees and this and that. But at night, very scary, completely, because there's no lights there. It was not, you know, it wasn't like a tradition. It looked like you were staring into the woods, even though just on the other side of that was like a major street. But it was like thick with like trees in between, and it looked like very scary at night. You know, and I think it was only fenced on the side where like our house was, but like it was easy to get, like if we had wanted to screw around and like go in there, we could have. But also, by the time I was in high school though, I used to go on a lot of night walks. I'm actually really lucky that nothing ever happened to me. There were occasionally times where I'd get a little spooked out, like someone would look like they were maybe gonna follow me or something, and that was a little creepy, but the woods type area that was by the house I lived in when I was in elementary school, that was pretty creepy. Especially at night, you just like couldn't see past the first couple trees because it was so dark.
Oh, I really miss the woods. I find
Yeah.
myself thinking that all the time,
Yeah.
oddly. The only sort of spooky place where when I was growing up was like we would have tunnels like under a single street that were like all corrugated metal inside and were like 8 feet tall or something. And I don't think they had any lights in there or like one single sort of hanging bulb. So I was
Yeah.
never allowed to go in those by myself, which makes sense in the end. Like there was one by one of the elementary schools and there something bad happened.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like someone did something to another person, but there might have been like a car accident or something
Right.
bad happened that really freaked my mom out there. But that was kind of it, you know?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Which in the end, I mean, probably good. Minimal
You know,
scares.
and yeah, there's a it's probably, yeah, you don't want to be there. I mean, there are other ways to get traumatized, right? I guess there's more than one
Certainly.
way to get the trauma.
Cut down on the other ones. Oof.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like you'll take it easy in certain categories because you got enough going on in this escape
Certainly.
that you're in,
Yes.
you
The
know.
life of the suburbs is plenty on
There
its
you go.
own.
Exactly.
But I liked being in just sort of the events of it. I think they play. There was something very like dreamlike.
Yeah.
Or almost I kept finding myself describing it as a fever dream. And then I was like, I have been sick the past week and napping a lot and having a
Yeah.
fever. So maybe that was part of it.
Oh, did you get, you got, yeah, you got sick. I feel
Yeah, I just had like a
like
cough. I still have a little bit of it.
I'm so miserable when I'm sick. And like I was getting sick a lot last year. I was getting sick like every other month. I think also it was just my body rejecting the guy I was dating at the time. But it's still really annoying to get sick. Story short.
So
Yeah.
this was my first time like really getting sick since the like pandemic started. I
That's
never got
got a good
COVID. I
immune
was really,
system.
yeah. Like, my body has a nice, it's not nice to be sick, but my body has a nice way of every once in a while being like, stop it, slow down, sit down for a week.
There you go. The body keeps the score,
It
so on and
does.
so forth.
It
You know, so
reminds you.
your body is often telling you what you consciously are not in tune with. You know, your body's trying to be like, hey, pay attention to me.
Exactly.
I do not feel good.
Listen to your body.
Yep.
There's a moment where little Billy wakes up and the counselor's like, we have to go play the tennis tournament. And he's like, I don't even play tennis. And that felt so like so something in a dream. I'm just like, I don't even know how to drive. I can't do this.
That's how I feel. That's how I would have behaved as well. I will also say too, for it being a government experiment, I think the snake bite thing with Mike is pretty, that's hard to stage. So the
Although I
fact
guess
that
they did just put it in his bed.
Yeah. And they were just this poor kid, you know, like that's, I mean, that's what I mean, is it's like
Yeah, true.
that's pretty, this poor kid.
Take one for the team.
I hope he got paid extra, because
Yeah, because they
yeah.
don't have a nurse, so he swells.
Yeah, this poor kid. I mean, it's going, and it's like for days, and it's like
Yes.
he's saying it's like hurting, and like it's shooting up and down his body. I'm like, that was freaking me out probably
Yeah.
more than anything else, was this, like, where's this going? This the whole
Yeah.
fight.
It's like the real familiar danger, more so than
Yeah,
like
and
the mysterious monsters.
and the fact that Lenny wasn't even concerned on a, like, a liability perspective, I was like, well, this is just an absurd place. It's like, this place just has no rules. The whole no nurse thing. I'm like, I was wondering, I was like, is the twist going to be, I'm sure it won't be that it's just, I didn't know there was a twist, but it, based on just what was coming up, it's like, okay, so that maybe it's all just a dream, because this is like, I can't imagine any reality where this would be okay. But like, government experiment, I'm like, okay.
True.
He went that direction with it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Parents must be like really important that they would
Yes.
basically fund an entire camp for their.
Yeah.
And I really can't tell how many of these things were honestly like government tests, or I think the bus driver was just a dick.
Yes.
I think he was just a mean old man who wanted to wear that mask and was like, gets him every time. That's how I get my kicks. Sticking out little
Exactly.
kicks. Also, anybody running a camp
Yeah.
with children and they want you to call them uncle.
No.
Uncle Al, I was like, oh no.
No. Especially
And he's
because
got a
I,
gun.
yeah, this summer camp that was, well, first off, let's do the guns. Because in the final sequence, after this huge, like, crazy canoe ride where he saves
Yeah.
Lenny's life,
Lenny's so grateful, that
yes.
bum.
They get everyone up at like 3 in the morning, and Uncle Al starts passing out rifles.
Yeah. I started laughing when that happened.
Because they're like,
I was like, this is crazy.
this is too far, man. Because there's
This.
a girls' camp on the other side of the river, and two
Yeah.
girls that we, the characters, have known have gone missing in camp.
And
So we
like,
have to trank them,
they have to hunt
tranquilizer
them. Like,
dart
they're
them.
literally, I was like, they're hunting. 'Cause like, I was, when the book started, and it was like, oh, by the way, there's like 18 boys and 4 girls. And I was like, well, that seems a little disproportionate and strange. I don't know how I feel about that. And then to read later in the book that, like, oh yeah, two of the girls ran away. We gotta hunt them down.
That especially, like, did you have to do, we called it outdoor ed, where in 6th grade we had to do like a weekend in school. All of the kids had to go to a
Yeah.
camp and do like a weekend in the woods. Did you have
Oh
to do
my
anything
God,
like
they made that
that?
a requirement?
Yeah.
That's mess. My mom would have been like, no. No, we're going to grandma's. That's our mall day. You're not
Yeah. Oh,
allowed to
hell
go home.
yeah. Learned how to use a compass and a like a crummy GPS, but we had a game called Predator Prey, which
Oh.
I this tells you so much about who I was a kid as a kid. There's a couple kids assigned to be predators and a couple kids assigned to be prey. And it's
God.
supposed to teach you about the food chain, but I was like, this is barbaric. I'm
I don't know. I
not
think you can
doing
just read
this.
about it. Like,
Exactly.
I don't think you have to reenact what predators and prey do.
Exactly.
I
That
know you
feels
have
like
food chain.
something at Camp Night Moon that would happen. So I was like, I'm not doing this. They had like this path and this path are the borders and don't go outside them. I said, I'm gonna do laps around
Yeah.
the camp. And I got lost. And I was eventually found and it was fine. And I was like gone for an hour. And I had this
I would freak
wonderful like
out.
media teacher who, as soon as I got out, I was crying and freaked out. And she somehow just had candy in her pockets immediately. And so she takes me under her
Oh.
wing and just like starts handing me Jolly Ranchers. I love her.
Well, at some point she's had to deal with enough freaked out children doing this stupid game, or she's
So
just like, I better put some candy in. I gotta load up because we have to play Predator Prey today.
I played so many camp games, and like the best camp games were the ones that like got into real danger. You know, that's the appeal of these books. But it was always like you're sitting in a circle and someone's gonna like die in the circle. Like we played like Mafia, and it was like it's dipping your toe, but
Sure.
like
Oh God, there's just so many like camp horror things. I think I watched Friday the 13th when I was 13,
oh.
and that stuck with me. Yeah, again, other than the, yeah, there was like the kid, there was the kids camp, and honestly, mostly I remember, I'm like in remembering and talking now, I'm like, I really mostly just made like lanyards. I
Oh,
mostly
the
made
arts and
like those
crafts were so
lizardy
good.
lizard things. Like
So good.
I made so many of those. I made so
Yes.
many like keychains.
Yes.
And then yeah, the band one was literally just like a super bougie. They had a gift shop with like, yeah, the Idlewild Arts camp. I mean, people treat, there's like a
Wow.
museum on campus. It's bougie. It's basically like pre-Juilliard for like rich kids that
Wow.
want to be actors, that like,
That is
or that
so
want to be like,
different.
that want to be
Yeah.
musicians, actors, whatever. And your parents are capable of paying private college tuition for your high school career to make you more competitive for places like
Wow.
Juilliard. And
No, I think my camp cost $100 at most.
yeah, that I
Yeah.
didn't have, I guess, yeah, I never had that kind of camping experience. I think that just was not, it never appealed. Like, even as a kid, like, yeah, again, watching The Parent Trap when the remake came out, and I remember being like, I'm with Meredith, like,
Yeah.
I wouldn't do this, but I'm not about this outdoor life. Yeah, and the movie starts with the camp where I'm like, even if it's a nice camp with cabins, what if the other girls are mean? Like,
Yes.
that
And
was honestly
even,
always kind of my main fear, is not even
yeah.
so much the external danger, but like the dynamics of other, like,
Yes.
again, the summer in a day thing, traumatized, Lord of the Flies, this and that. Our
That's
biggest
true.
danger is each other. Like,
Which is completely valid. I even, the second year I was at camp, we had cabins sort of like this, but it wasn't super nice. It was like a roof and a floor and like some like beams, and we had a tarp that you would, it was like a giant curtain, and you would strap it around the whole, which by the way, had to, we'll get to that. There's one moment in this where they see some kind of monster, which is never addressed when they're on the bus. And
yeah.
they're just abandoned at this bus terminal. But one is frothing at the mouth. And that is a real danger of rabies because when I was at that camp and we had those cabins,
Yeah.
there were like four or five cabins in our unit, and the cabin next to ours got bats.
Yeah.
So all like 20 of us had to get rabies shots. And
Wow.
but Girl Scouts paid for all of it. They're super great.
Well, that's
And then
good.
they had to redo all of the camps in the area, so they had walls and screened windows.
They're like,
But
oh, we've learned our lesson. We're not,
it's
good
time.
that you weren't part of the experimental early
Yes.
group of campers.
Yes.
Kudos on the Girl Scouts. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people will say I'm brainwashed because I did do 12 years and then I worked for them twice, but that is a very, very good
Hey, but it was a
organization.
very good organization. I don't fault you for,
No, it's
I
really
remember I
good.
really wanted to be a Girl Scout, my sister and I both, and
Aww.
we went to like one orientation, and my mom like walked us out like halfway through, and she's like, we're not paying for all that. We're not,
Yeah.
this is a pyramid scheme. Like,
Although there are scholarships, there is something called share, which is share her annual something with
yes,
an R
I
and
did, we didn't,
expenses.
we clearly didn't stay for that portion of the. I don't know if we would have qualified, because I think the
Yeah.
other thing too is like, my mom was a single mom, but like
You're right.
she did make pretty good money, and our upbringing, at least our childhood, things started falling apart in my adolescent years, but my childhood was very, we were very materially spoiled children, my sister and I. So
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if we would have qualified for the scholarship, but I
But it
remember I
sounds
was
like
like, I
it
don't
also
want to.
was not your jam, which is okay.
Yeah,
Maybe
I
spared some.
maybe, yeah, camping was not, yeah, that stuff I think would have all freaked me out too much anyway, so it probably, I don't know if we go into the childhood stuff enough. It's like, my mom did try to socially integrate, and my sister was more, you know, she was more involved in it. She did like the softball, the community softball leagues and stuff like that. But me, I was just always, I kind of didn't, none of it really was like clicking with me. I just wanted to sit at home and read.
And it worked out.
Yeah, look at me now.
Here you are at a reading podcast all these years
Yeah,
later.
reading Goosebumps. Literally, I haven't even changed grade levels of reading material.
Well, we did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We
Oh
did One
yeah.
Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Yeah.
Nest. That's valid, which is a nice little, this is a nice little refresher.
Nice, nice little palate cleanser. It's just children being tortured in a facility instead of
Yes. Which this guy pulling out rifles, I worked for my camp. I died for my camp. I loved it so much. But the woman who ran it, I love her to bits. She is frightening in just how, like, she will not take crap. She is so just forthright, and I love her, and was definitely a huge formative influence on me.
I'm glad you had a good experience with that.
I
Doesn't have any
did.
harm.
Yeah, that camp is gave that's where I met my best friend. That camp, I'll sing its praises till the day I
Oh,
die.
see,
It was so
that's
cute.
the goal. It's like I'd say it's
Yes.
like you succeeded at camp by actually making like lifelong friends and this and
Yeah.
that. Like that didn't click for me. I yeah, I also went to like a winter symphony camp as well. At one point, and a lot of this was driven by like there was just a lot of family trauma that I was going through at
Right.
the time. So music teachers and my grandmother and stuff, they were really pushing me to like lean into music and
Right.
piano and percussion at the time. And I was honestly like really struggling with dissociation and like I had a really
Right.
hard time like even practicing the music or sitting down or focusing. I couldn't, but they kept being like, well, just send her to camp, you know, send her to these kids, like keep her occupied.
Yeah.
And all the kids could pick up on me having like these weird like hang-ups because I was like already like not coping well with like what was
Right.
happening at home. But then like yeah, I went to this winter camp and I just remember it was a combination of like the girls weren't mean, but they were not like
Just
the
not
most
right.
out there. Like it was very clearly very cliquey, and I even at that point I could feel there being quite the socioeconomic gap between myself and the majority of the other
Right.
campers there. And then I was just cold. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be cold anymore.
That's
And
valid.
I made up like kind of a serious emergency. I remember I called my mom crying because I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
My mom was like, I will drive there right now and pick you up. My mom, you know, she had her issues,
Yeah.
but she would be cool about certain things. And I just was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like the food, the girls are mean, and I'm cold. And then she just
Yeah.
like drove over and picked me up and just made up. She was just like, just make up some excuse.
Hell yeah. That's so nice. I will tell you one excuse a girl gave me. It was like my last year of camp working there, and it was the last day. There were legitimately 2 hours left in the camp. But a girl was like, I need my mom to come pick me up because I don't have my hairbrush, and this is the end of the world. And also, I ate Nutella, and I am allergic to nuts, and
Oh,
I
yeah.
purposefully ate it. I'm really great, but it's okay.
Oh, here you go.
But it's a, and so like I've been EpiPen trained since I was really little, which is something I
Yeah,
love about the Girl Scouts.
that's
But
really good.
so I was like, okay, I know how to do this. Give me your EpiPen. And just she's like, no, it's fine. I just need my mom.
Sounds
So I was like, what on earth?
like she was pretty. She fit the bill for being a Girl Scout. She's pretty resourceful on like, oh, I don't
100%.
want to be here anymore. So I need a physical fallout plan, and also and also because I'm a Girl Scout, I'm going to tell the truth. And
Yes.
I like there's like a transparency of like. Like there's an efficiency to her like bailing. She was
Yes.
just like, I don't want to be here anymore because I don't have my hairbrush. And also I had a feeling, and also because that probably wasn't going to be a good enough excuse, I went ahead and ate some nuts that I'm
Yes.
allergic to.
On
Just to really like,
purpose.
just to really, I'm like, she sounds like a textbook Girl Scout to me. That's pretty,
Never thought about it
she
that way.
picked up on the principles pretty well. She was like, I'm gonna tell the truth. She chopped down the cherry tree and she told the authorities right away, kind of
She did.
attitude.
Damn. And then,
I
like,
got her.
a few years later, she showed up at my high school because she was a couple years younger and it was a local thing. And I was always just like, that they don't know, but
Oh,
I
she's a crafty little one. Watch out. Watch out. I mean, she was
Diabolical.
very transparent, is what it sounds like. She's just like, if I don't want to be here, I'm not gonna be
I'm
here.
going. Yeah. And I respect that. Damn,
It's
girl.
very like that Top Model clip where that girl's like, I can't do this anymore. I just like I don't want to be here anymore. I just like can't take the pressure of it. And they're like, but don't you think she just like stomps away.
Yes, I'm done. That's,
Like, I
you
just
gotta
don't
know
want to be here anymore. Like,
yourself.
I can't take it. I really did enjoy. So again, I didn't really read R.L. Stein books, but I think I read maybe one, and it
Right.
wasn't really for me. Because my attitude on the Goosebumps books was always kind of like, oh, the covers look really scary.
Yeah.
But then I think I only read one. And it was this one where it's like the kids put pumpkins on their heads and then they can't get them off
Oh.
or something. Like they can't get them off, but then they eventually do. And
Yeah.
so I kind of chalked it up to being like, well, sounds like it's a lot of needless a lot of
stress.
hoopla
For
Exactly.
nothing.
A lot of hoopla for like, oh, everything's fine, which like it better be because they're children. This kind of attitude I go, it
Absolutely.
better be okay. And then so I think I read like one Goosebump book, but I really liked in this one, I really liked the Q&A. He seemed very cheeky.
Yes. All the ones that I've read have the Q&A and a little behind the screams section, which is so
Yeah,
cute.
I think that's very endearing that that is part of it. I think that helps to humanize him and make the material a bit more like even more kind of kid friendly and accessible. I really like this top 10 reasons to be happy your camp is haunted.
Yes.
That was cute. The tents all float a few inches off the ground, giving campers a much more comfortable sleep. I think this is like kind of up my alley. This
Yeah.
silly stuff is like, yeah, all the ghosts packed into your cabin make it nice and cool, even during the hottest summer nights. Oh, and then it has this bit about venomous snake staff.
Yes.
I actually really liked that because I think the snake bite thing really was very
Yeah.
freaking because it was like, oh, and it keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
And
And
then
it's
to
kind
find
of
out,
real. Yeah.
like, and it's real. And then I'm like, this one kid just like had to get like bit by a snake for the
The
that sucks.
experiment.
Then create a creepy camp schedule. I thought that's
Yes.
cute.
I love a fun schedule. Yes.
Yeah, there's just fun little yeah, 7:45 a.m. screaming banshees wake up all campers. Yeah, oh, it's like tips, chow time. Make sure to think of gruesome things to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Feel free to throw in a snack or two as well. Think of what a monster would eat. Vampires and blood, or zombies and brains, or think of the most disgusting thing you'd never want to eat, like a slug, but make it part of a normal meal, like a slug sandwich or spaghetti with slug. Like I'm like, this is just good. This is good,
Just
like writing
nice.
advice, like good kind
Yeah.
of comedy slash comedy horror writing advice that he's like teaching you how to be a little gross, little grossy, a little
Yeah. A
gross.
little R.L. Stein mini. Yeah.
I thought about that. So I like those little Easter eggs at the end
Me
of the
too.
book. I thought that was really sweet.
I do too. And I like that especially with this one, because the end is so like abrupt. I like that they get a little, it gets a little play out, and that it's really nice and fun. I like that a lot.
Exactly. Because it is such a switch up because like
Yes.
this camp is messed
Scary.
up. I was like, as I'm ramming, like there's no way. There's the kid and then the kids that are going missing with
Yeah.
the screaming and then
And their mail isn't delivered, and the
and
phone is
yeah, that
fake.
phone is fake and all this and then the guns come out and I was like, this is I was looking at how many pages were left and I was like,
Yes.
where is this going? Like what is
I did think it was going to be kind of Lord of Flies, of like warrior hunting each other.
Yeah, I'm like, but it's like what's the deal with this camp? I didn't really I didn't As it kept escalating, I was like, what I thought was initially when I was reading it was that it was going to continue to be a bunch of fake out things where he says he's a bit of a worrier. And the first thing
Right.
that happens is the bus driver turns around and he's wearing this like really scary mask. And then the kid thinks it's real at first. So I'm like, oh, this book is going to be full of these moments
Right.
where, oh no, he thinks someone's getting stabbed, but actually they're just doing something else, or like we think that we see a scary monster and it's actually just a woodland animal or something. And
Yeah.
so I kept thinking that was going to be it, but then I was like, no, this stuff's really messed up that they're doing. This is not
Yes.
okay. Like,
This is a scary one. Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised, because
yeah.
I was kind of cooling on Goosebumps, so I'm very glad to know that this is in store.
Yeah. He's a cheeky little dude. It's like,
Yes.
I can't get over, as you know, your parents are scientists. Oh, yes, 137 pages in, naturally. Yes,
You
I
know.
knew this the whole time.
Yeah.
It
Would
was a
you
good
consider
time.
it required reading?
Would I consider this required reading? I would say it's certainly colorful. The thing is,
Yes.
I don't have as much of a depth. This is, I don't even really remember the other Goosebumps
Yeah.
book that I read. So I would say I've kind of not really ever read
Yeah.
a Goosebumps book. At least to remember, I would say some form of Goosebump engagement
Yeah.
would because it is so pivotal, and there are so many. You've got the Fear Street movies, you've got the Goosebump movies, and the TV show, and there's like, it's a very extensive franchise
Yeah.
that I think is useful to be aware of, and especially if you're somebody who's privy to like whether it's Twilight Zone, sci-fi, horror, what have you. This seems pretty. some form of goosebump intake seems foundational, I think.
Yeah. I think not required reading to me, some good summer reading.
Yeah, good summer reading.
Yeah, very
There you
good.
go. That's the answer. That's
Yeah.
the you can read this as a palate cleanser after you read Lord of the Flies,
Yes.
and this will pick you up. This will come off like a lot lighter in
Yes.
comparison to that.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
There you go.
Well, that was the final question. Is there any place that you would like to plug? Anywhere you'd like to be found? Of course,
Oh,
a Breath of Fresh Movie.
sure. Yeah, you could follow my friend Victoria and I's podcast, A Breath of Fresh Movie. It's at Fresh Movie Pod on, I think, Instagram and TikTok. You're welcome to find me on social media because I gotta work on building that up more. And that's at Chelsea the Pope on Instagram and at Chelsea underscore Pope on TikTok. I technically also have the handle Chelsea the Pope on TikTok, but for whatever reason, I got logged out and never was allowed to log
Oh
back in. It's actually funny because like when I first started making TikToks, I would just get really stoned and make like stupid. So like that, if you go to Chelsea the Pope TikTok, those videos are just me being like really high in my apartment with my cat. And then also I only followed one person before I got logged out. And then that person apparently has been canceled like multiple times. So
Oh
it's
my
kind of
God.
embarrassing. Like I'm following like this one person. Like I come off like I'm a super fan of this one TikToker that like is, I'm like, it was a different time in 2019, you guys, I swear to God.
Really,
And I can't
truly.
log back in and I
Well, you made the statement here. Now we know. It's on the
thank you.
record.
As I
You
really wanted to
disavowed that
absolve
one.
myself of that one, that just the embarrassing, like if you do any digging of me on TikTok and you see that I have this second account where I'm like probably drunk and high in every video, and I'm following the only JS, which is like a user that again has been canceled like multiple times apparently. It was a different time, you guys, I swear.
It's a different
So
time.
there you go.
There you go.
That's my plug.
Well, I'll turn off the recording. Thank you so much.